Yo, Chad, what if I told you there's a platform that could completely revolutionize your hiring strategy in a matter of hours?
Yeah, I'd call bullshit.
Well, it's not bullshit with AI for jobs powered by our friends at This Way Global.
Okay, I'm listening.
While everyone else is fishing in the same old talent pools, AI for jobs can source over 160 million diverse candidate profiles. This Way Global has established unique partnerships with over 8,500 trusted diversity partners.
So wait a minute. All of the hard on the groundwork is already done.
That's right, cowboy. You can discover 300 qualified candidates per job rec instantly.
Wow.
It's like having a candidate sourcing magic wand.
Dude, if you had a magic wand, you would have Mexican pizzas all day.
Stop distracting me, Sowash. AI for Jobs advanced matching algorithm analyzes past applicants using trillions of historical matching events and over 1,600 data points.
Now that is what AI should be doing, saving recruiters time on sourcing while they provide a white glove candidate experience.
Let's wrap this shit up. I'm hungry.
Listen up, kids. Revolutionize your hiring process today by jumping over to thiswayglobal.com and checking out AI for Jobs, where you can learn more about how to leverage AI for your recruiting instead of just writing poems and grocery lists.
That is thiswayglobal.com. We out.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
In this episode of the Chad and Cheese, we take to the main stage of Unleash America in Las Vegas with our friend Chris Conrad from TechKernel, talking about should companies build, buy, or partner? Check it out.
Chris Conrad, VP of Sales for North America from TechKernel. TechKernel is a global leader in AI-powered semantic technology for understanding, connecting, and analyzing people and jobs better. We've talked about that on the consultant panel a little bit ago. Over 15 years of experience in recruitment and recruitment technology, Chris brings a ton of knowledge and experience to this panel and to this conversation. He's going to sit alongside Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman, of course, the co-founders and co-hosts of the Chad and Cheese podcast. I learned a whole bunch of things when I read this intro earlier. I didn't know all of these things about Chad, so I'm going to share them with you. Former Army infantry drill sergeant. He cut his teeth in online recruitment back in 98 with an outfit called Online Career Center before the next year it became Monster, thank you. And then, of course, he went on to build direct employers from the ground up. He steered recruit military toward revenue as their chief experience officer and built Randstad's first military veteran recruitment program. I didn't even know all of this about Chad. That's an amazing bio. Joel Cheeseman has over 20 years of experience in online recruitment as well, worked with both international and local job boards in the late 90s and early 2000s. In 2005, Joel founded HR SEO, a search engine marketing company for HR, and launched an award-winning industry blog called Cheesehead. Let's bring them to stage.
And live.
My turn?
Amazing. Yes, absolutely.
Hello. Is this thing on?
Good to see you.
Hello.
Have fun. Yes.
Wake up, Vegas.
I know that, dude. In the back, they said, can you and Chad get on the couch together? I don't know what they're expecting at Unleash to happen with that. And those lights are bright.
Very interesting vibe, right?
So, what are we? We're talking big back better. Is that
build back better?
Build back better. Big back better.
Love it.
That was at my house.
Immediately moving over.
Build.
Yes.
Buy. Or partner.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's the topic, right?
Which is what the other group tried to stay away from the entire time, and everybody kept asking. So we might as well go ahead and knock it out.
I feel like we should really simplify it. What those terms mean. So build, do you have your tech team build this thing from the ground up?
Yep.
Do you buy? Mm-hmm. Do you acquire somebody that's already doing it and plug it into your system?
Really questions for the ages, to be quite frank.
Or partner.
Yeah.
Yes, partner. Someone does it really well. You know that you are not, you're not named Google or AWS or something, and you just go buy that and partner with them to do it. So I think historically, if we take it back there, there's been some mistakes that companies in our space have made. One that comes to my mind is jobbing video. I don't know if you remember jobbing video.
Who was around long enough to remember
who
jobbing video?
Jobbing?
Oh, here you go.
Jesus Christ.
Well,
woo.
Jobbing was a job board headquartered out in the Southwest. And in the mid-2000s, YouTube was a thing. Google Video came out. And jobbing created jobbing video, where they thought, we can do a video player as good as YouTube.
Yeah.
Turned out they couldn't.
For about 5 minutes.
They could.
About 5 minutes.
It cost too much. Hosting it was too much. They couldn't do HD. They couldn't do the things that YouTube did. So they went back to YouTube. So that's one example of they should have just partnered with someone like YouTube.
But sometimes you're afraid to do those things because there might be an API. I don't know. Twitter might come out with an API. Yep. And you use the API and you start to build revenue off of the API. And then they pull the plug on the API. Yeah.
You were a career builder. What did Monster have on Facebook back in the day? You remember that? Remember Be Known?
Oh, my God.
Be Known. Anybody remember Be Known?
I know.
Everybody was doing social media,
Be Known,
Facebook.
And they had Branch Out. Branch Out was a startup that was on Facebook, and they claimed to have 1 billion users.
How do you remember all
which
this
was,
stuff?
This is what
it's
I do.
Job.
I have no life. So we have 1 billion users, and then Facebook said, you know what? We're going to switch this up, and they're dead. And so
sure
is Monsters Be Known. So
my office somewhere.
So there are significant threats. A guy named Elon just bought Twitter. Now you have to pay for that API. So all these companies that were using Twitter's API are now proper, you know what, in
fucked.
Using that. So in our space, we have to ask the question: built, buy, or partner? My man here, TextKernel, a lot of you know Sovereign. They acquired Sovereign a couple years ago. You have tons of partners leveraging your program. And I assume you see this question with your partners.
Yeah.
How do you convince them, like, not to be scared, that you're not going to go away, that they shouldn't build it themselves? What's that conversation like with companies?
Surprisingly easy sometimes, especially when you start talking about R&D, right? I think, you know, a lot of the audience here are actually customers of our Sovereign product line. Within HR tech, we have a high level usage. I think probably maybe over 1,000 different partners in North America alone.
And if they're not using you directly, they're probably using someone that's using you guys and saying that they build it themselves, right?
That is a phenomenon.
That happens,
We ran into that before. But yeah, I mean, so the thing is, you know, for maybe a lot of you guys, what we do is fundamentally resume parsing. So I think something like, 2.5 billion resumes get parsed through Sovereign and TextKernel.
2.5 billion?
Yeah.
Is that a year?
Yeah, per
Holy
year.
Holy shit.
It's insane. Yeah, all unique people, obviously. All
yeah.
Unique. Yeah. No, but it's crazy stats, right? And so, like, yeah, we do a lot of this, and we've built up a lot of expertise, but the challenge is, like, who's building a new parser? Like, is it anyone's core business model to, like, build that? You know, even if you're a job board, like, do you even want to have that proprietary tech?
And we're talking how many years between Sovereign and you guys, have you guys been doing this?
They both started 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's crazy, right? I'm not aware of another parser that's been came up in the last five, really. But really, I think anymore, it's less about just the parsing. It's more about the enrichment of skills, professions. It's about all the other stuff. And what's kind of crazy, and this, I feel like I'm getting on a parsing tangent, it's kind of weird, is like all the creativity that people have on resumes, you know, like the advice that your mom would give you, like when you first get a job, like, oh, stand out.
Yeah.
And so people started making like these really creative like resumes.
And you guys stripped the creativeness out.
And it's horrible. for so you have to like you have to do a lot of work to be like, all right, well, you know, because people are putting addresses all over the place, or you know, they have headers where their footers should be, and it's all over the
place.
Like,
and doesn't LinkedIn kind of change things up pretty regularly to keep you guys on your toes? I mean just keeping up with LinkedIn is a total pain in the ass, right?
Yeah, they changed that like what, I feel like quarterly now. Yeah,
that's a whack-a-mole that no one wants to play.
No, but and so that's a thing, right? So when we're talking about all the different technologies that are coming out, right? It's hard to keep up with the Joneses. So I think when we're all kind of talking about like different vendors in this segment, it's, well, what can we differentiate in? What can we special in? What can we, you know, bring a unique solution to the market? But really almost all of us have to interact with, you know, either job data or candidate data, right? And so you start having the question, what needs to be proprietary technology for your business to be unique in the marketplace? And surprisingly, especially I feel like the conversation is changing daily now, it's limiting, right? Like what makes you unique is sometimes a very small set of skills or a small set of capabilities that your tool might have, or solutions that, or problems that it's solving with your solution.
So we don't have a lot of time on stage. Do we open up the ChatGPT Pandora's box yet or no?
Open up the can of worms.
Okay.
We haven't talked about that, right? No one has talked about this yet.
This is brand new for everybody, I know. ChatGPT, in case you don't know, go ahead and Google it. Is this a conversation? Because I fear a little bit like we're moving really fast to adopt this, to integrate it without sort of thinking about it. And some of you may know.
You feel that way?
So Samsung, not job specific.
We've seen how many products pop out that are GPT in the last 2 weeks, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah.
It is ridiculous.
Wait till you go to the expo hall. Yeah,
it's
the new AI and big data over there.
Yeah.
But at Samsung, some developers said, let's throw all our code into ChatGPT and see what happens.
Right? Well, why not?
To their dismay, now OpenAI has that code. And it was sort of an oopsie moment.
Mm-hmm.
But we have not just code and IP, but we're talking about candidates, human beings, databases of profiles. Should we be afraid about unleashing the ChatGPT, the OpenAI animal on all this data? Should vendors be asking, should we, instead of
we talking about PII,
why not?
Right?
But,
like,
yeah, I mean,
what's the risk?
I guess, yeah, the big question is cannibalizing your own current business and future business, right? So do we actually utilize the secret sauce that we were talking about, Samsung, right? The secret sauce that nobody else has, it's our code, it's our data, what have you. Do we go ahead and allow a company like OpenAI or Google or maybe soon Amazon to actually gobble this.
Elon's got one too, X.AI.
So
everyone's going to be flooding that with data.
So pros and cons behind that, because you guys, you've powered pretty much the entire industry between Sovereign and TextKernel, powered the entire industry, and you know what white labeling and partnering looks like. But now this is changing the game entirely. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, a lot of our company is PhDs. You know, I'm a sales guy, but we're a small sales team. We don't need to be, right? We have huge R&D efforts comparatively for our company size. And so I'm talking to our head of R&D and, you know, kind of getting our position on large language models, which I feel like right now should be a drinking game. Like every single time you say generative AI.
Why not?
Take a drink.
Somebody get the Maker's.
I got a bottle of Maker's.
Yeah, get a Maker's Mark out of my bag.
Let's get after it. No one will
Backstage is crazy, everybody.
You know, so one of the anomalies, I guess, you know, the smart people are talking about is the concept of hallucinations, right? Where the generative AI, which is naturally creative, will just kind of make up stuff. Which is great when you're asking it to write up some marketing content, maybe draft like a prospecting email or make a job description. But when you're talking about something like, let's just say a resume, we're testing it out. We're like, oh, this is sometimes just coming up with just fake history.
So you're saying a hallucination for AI is pretty much them, the AI itself, not having enough data to fill a gap. So they come up with their own and it could just be total bullshit.
Could be, right? I think how it's been explained to me by the smarty pants is that it's like when you're having a conversation with someone, but you anticipate what someone is going to say next. How often do you kind of get that wrong a little bit? I know I kind of screwed up a bit. Well, it's like generative AI. It's kind of doing that. So it's making that assumption, drawing that conclusion, which, you know, sometimes most of the time it's right. Sometimes it's not, right? And so when you're talking about doing this, you know, hundreds of times, thousands of times, billions of times, right? Like, that level of inconsistency is horribly dangerous, mm-hmm. right? And so you're talking about, like, that's a challenge. So how, what do you do with this, right? So there's things that it's really good at. And I personally believe we're at this moment where, you know, because of how accessible this technology is, I think it's going to change a lot of things. But for the short term, we need to be able to, like, augment, you know, what it's able to do, its creativity, with, you know, hard-coded data sets, you know, things that are industry-specific. Like, so for example, we have extensive taxonomy and ontology around skills and professions. Great. Use that to guide the AI, because that's similar to curation, right? So you're pointing in a direction saying, hey, you build out this job description, but here are the skills that it should have. Don't guess. You know, don't jump to some conclusions, but here's what we want on here.
So you're talking about, really, and we've talked to a couple of AI companies that focused on large language models and then having a link to domain specific. And that's smaller, right? But it is really an organization's secret sauce.
Yeah.
And again, your secret sauce being, you know, 2 billion resumes that have been parsed, the ontologies, the taxonomies, all those things. That large language model does not currently have that information. How long do you think it's going to take for them to actually pull that data in? Or do you think that it's going to take a company to point them in that direction, to be able to start gleaning that data?
You know, that's a good question. I suspect not long. So we're already looking really heavily into how we incorporate. We're incorporating it in certain areas. And our main focus is around compliance, obviously privacy and whatnot. So there's a lot of concern, right? Like, what kind of data are you pumping into? Is this going to be compliant with, you know, European legislation? Definitely not, right? But we know American legislation is going to change. New York City has that weird law in the books that no one can seem to figure out what to do with it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, California's not far. Colorado's pretty close. This is all going to change, right? Again, I kind of, you know, we were talking about this over lunch. Like, I see this as, like, the Model T, where, like, traffic lights didn't exist before. The cars were around before,
yeah.
But it's just the prevalent, the amount of them that you know, started hitting the roadways. You had to put rules in place. You had to have, which side of the road are you going to be on, right? What are stop signs? How are they going to interact with horses? I think this is how we're going to have in the future. Be like, hey, how do we use this? How do we regulate it? How does it manage our environment? But you know, that's beyond my scope.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman, I'm talking about TextKernel.
Ah, okay, that makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh my God, really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey, kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener, get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos.
Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance, and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
You know, for a long time we talked about automation, AI replacing recruiters. And I feel like that has come full circle to it's going to augment what a recruiter does.
Yeah.
Does ChatGPT, the ability to write job descriptions, to write rejection letters and cover letters, and does this replace the recruiter, or does it augment them to do their jobs better or focus on more important things?
Ooh, that's a dangerous question, right?
That's what I do.
We've been talking about this for years, right? You know, in terms of obviously not with of this type of technology, but like with different workflow automations, conversational AI, right? I don't think we're at that point anywhere close to it, because at the end of the day, it's human connection, right? People want to talk to people. You know, like, you can read the room. If you're going to give someone some bad news, right, you need to have that conversation. But also, it's kind of like if so my wife's a recruiter, and she was, sending an offer to someone, and so she had a phone call with that individual, and of course, they wanted more money, right? So, like, how do you have that conversation with someone? I think, like, where are you going to use, like, a AI-generated, voice of Bruce Willis, like, to communicate, like, this stuff? Like, is that where we're going?
They can definitely do that.
Yeah. Like, also, you sold the rights. Why not?
I mean, there's also the flip side, which is less controllable, which is the job seeker.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see stories about, smart developers that are applying to jobs that aren't them, and they're passing pre-screening questions, and they're passing conversational AI discussions, and they're getting job interviews.
Yeah.
So we're building a beast on both sides.
Yeah.
I always joke about eventually robots are just going to interview robots, and until that first day of work, no one's going to see anybody. But I think the job seeker side of it.
Bill Gates giving an interview where he's talking about like where his test for whether OpenAI was ready was whether it could pass a AP bio exam.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he thought it would take like 2 years from the due, and I guess they called him back in a couple months, being like,
done.
Hey, we're
done.
Ready to do this now.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that we're there, but again, it's I think the human interaction, we always, I think, like discredit that a little bit. I mean, there's things you can do, obviously, right, in terms of, matching, understand different data points, different pieces of the puzzle. But, like, at the end of the day, like, still being able to understand whether someone's the right fit for your company culture, right? Are we going to rely on that to a generative AI?
I think that's the answer for the most part, is because how long have we given job seekers a shitty experience anyway, right?
I mean,
they've gone into a black hole, and they just want some type of touch, some type of love, some type of communication. They don't care where it comes from. Just as long as they know whether they get they got the job, they're going through to the next, to the interview or what have you.
I think
we're talking about recruiters, they're going to be able to provide, when they utilize this tech and companies who smartly build this tech or partner to build this tech, they will provide recruiters with the opportunity to have more time that they don't have today, because they're doing so much administrative shit that takes up all their time, and they don't get a chance to actually be human and talk to humans. So AI could, in this sense, help recruiters be more human, because it gives more time back to them to be able to have that conversation about pre-interview, post-interview, offer, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, and kind of switch gears a little bit. Think about, like, also if you're starting up a new tech company, right? Right now we have all the different building blocks. We're starting to get to that point for a company to really build unique solutions, right? So they could, you're leveraging the public cloud, right, to store all your data. You get processing power from, let's just say, using generative AI. You're buying that processing power. You can leverage companies like us to process the initial data, build out your indexes, build out your data set, right? So you have all the different components, right? So you can actually deliver solutions, I think, in the future, a lot faster to market. and with less headcount. But you have to still have that unique solution, that unique idea, that differentiation. You can't just churn out, like, you know, a copy of a copy.
Is it just the idea?
That a good thing, though?
But I mean, no. Well, first, is it just the idea that now you can take pieces and parts and APIs and large language models and start to build your own, not even with your own tech? I mean, you don't even have to have a layer of your own tech in there other than bleeding all those together and having UI, right? Yeah. Yeah. So how close are we to that today?
I think we're close. So I got a good buddy of mine, and he runs a sales org or a small startup that does a little bit of conversational AI, but a niche player. And so I was talking to him, and I was like, all right, so tell me more about the tech. And, like, none of it's proprietary. None of it. Which is interesting, and they're doing great, right? Like, so what's proprietary, obviously, is their marketing campaign, their ability to sell and position within, like, the niche segmentation that they do, and they're really good at the staffing industry, so they have the local knowledge of how to apply, the technology to that, to solving those problems. So they're doing great, but none of it truly is their unique IP.
So therefore, from an acquisition standpoint, that's more than likely not going to happen, but they've got a great lifestyle company.
Yeah, well, they're making money, right?
But let's explore this for a second. So when we got started in this, we'd go to SHRM, there'd be like 10 huge booths and a few like 20 by 20s. Yeah. Yeah. And now we have like the startup alley where people have kiosks and these startups. Yeah.
The
and
stalls.
There are fewer big booths. Like, are we going to a place where just it's one big kiosk mall? And every company is like 10 people or less, and 80 companies do the same thing. And like, what's going to differentiate companies? And if no one's getting $100 million, everyone's getting $2 million in funding, and that they can make a business. I just see this going into a real confusing, convoluted space. Am I wrong there?
More than what it is now?
Who wants to go to that conference?
Right? Way worse. Can you imagine walking into HR Tech and it's all kiosks? Like, think of the worst mall ever.
I can't think anything of worse than walking into HR Tech.
It'll be the eightfold booth, 200 by 200, and then a bunch of kiosks. That's what HR Tech will
be. Well, and just like a whole bunch of like singular sales reps with like hungry eyes like asking you to come
on by. I don't think that's good for the industry, is it?
I don't think so at all, right?
Is that where it's going?
I'm not against startups, obviously. But like, I think, you still need to differentiate yourself. And the scenario you're talking about is like cookie cutter, right? Where you're not differentiating yourself. I don't think that's where the market's going, right? I think we're just talking about the ability to bring new products to market faster, right, and differentiate.
Well, in today's environment, there are still companies that utilize, as you'd said, tech, not theirs, building companies, right? I mean, it's happening today. The question is, how much faster can this happen when you have these types of capabilities with organizations like Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Elon's dumbass.
Yeah, I don't know. The ability to differentiate technologically, to me, is going to a place that's almost impossible.
Yeah.
The only differentiator is brand, and maybe I have money to spend on trade shows and commercials. But like, if everyone's using OpenAI or Bard or whatever, and if those all become commodities, it's really hard to see a world where you really have something unique.
Yeah, I think you're just
unless you have 20 years of experience and data.
Well, obviously there's something to be said about having industry experience or niche industry experience, but I think you can't discredit human creativity, right? Like, whether we're talking about any of this stuff, large language models or disruptive, this has all happened before. Human ingenuity, right? We're going to solve problems, and this is going to create a problem that we're probably going to solve in another way. So I think we're just the tool set is changing rapidly, but not the application or the creativity.
So in the future, build, buy, partner. Is this even?
Are we doing buy or sell?
Yeah, I mean, is this even going to
be? I think
be,
build is a big sell.
Is build even going to be a part of it? When it comes to technology,
unless you want to be a two-person company, I guess.
I think build is. I think it's important if it's going to be unique and it's going to be a differentiator. But so much if it's not right, if it's not part of your core business model, if it's not something that will set you apart in the marketplace, you've got to partner every single time, right? Because you can be faster, more efficient, more economical, right? And then focus on what you can deliver, right? What you're in the business to do.
Are we selling Buy?
Buy,
definitely. If Buy becomes there's a dozen big companies with a lot of money and then a bunch of kiosks, at some point all those kiosks get bought up by the big companies. So maybe. I think in that perspective, there will be a lot of consolidation from this. But ultimately, partnering, if you can be that trusted source of data or technology and you're not going to go anywhere, that seems like that is the best answer today.
I mean, that's the bet we're making.
At least from this stage. And unfortunately, the big screen says time is up.
Yep.
Take a question?
Uh-oh.
Does anyone have
a question? Louder.
All the big providers have massive marketplaces and different partners on them.
Yeah.
They seem to be growing and growing every single day.
Yep.
Don't you feel a lot of the startups that are in those marketplaces are getting washed out, so it's hard for the actual customers of those companies to host?
So the question is around marketplaces. So most of you know your ATS or big platform, you can build on top of that, and then their customers can access those products and services. So the question is, do those just get washed out?
Someone asked me this.
There's
question.
No platform on TextKernel.
No. Okay. I think, you know, the platforms are always going to be slow to innovate, in my opinion. And so I think that there's always going to be a healthy marketplace for innovation, for startups, because they're always going to be more agile, right? Do we really see, like, you know, a Workday, like, you know, coming out cutting edge? I mean, that's probably a burn there, but that's the reality, right?
The truth.
It's not their business model.
They're old, lumbering dinosaurs for the most part, right? And so they're going to need those marketplaces, and they're going to need the nimble startups that are actually there.
I think they probably need them more than ever to stay relevant, right? Because also those platforms have a ton of technical debt, like massive, right? Mm. And this is only accelerating. So you think these platforms are going to be able to overhaul, right?
No.
Like Dynamics or
I can tell you, I know we advise companies and talk to a lot of startups and whatnot on the show, and we always advise startups, get on the easiest, most are free now, fortunately, get on as many platforms as possible, integrate as much as possible, because that's going to be a funnel to customers. I think the threat becomes, does the company just build it themselves and you become, like, you know, way down on the depth chart, or do they kick you out totally, or do they buy you?
Yes.
They usually
that's
buy.
Probably where you were going. Is
they
like, yeah, I mean, if you look at TextRecruit and iCIMS, TextRecruit was on the iCIMS platform, and they saw, I mean, the secret of having a platform is you get to see what the coolest, new, sexy stuff is that people are using, and then you go buy it.
It's also the data, right? So they also see the analytics, what the usage rates are. They have a lot more data points
customer
on these
growth.
Companies, right? And we're starting to see them now that they're funding some startups too, right? They'll have like little investment arms. It's amazing, really.
Thank you, Omar. We appreciate it. Thanks for everybody.
Answer the question. I feel like we just kind of went around with it. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. That was amazing.
Wow, look at you. You made it through an entire episode of the Chad and Cheese podcast. Or maybe you cheated and fast-forwarded to the end. Either way, there's no doubt you wish you had that time back. Valuable time you could have used to buy a nutritious meal at Taco Bell, enjoy a pour of your favorite whiskey, or just watch big booty Latinas and bug fights on TikTok. No, you hung out with these two chuggleheads instead. Now go take a shower and wash off all the guilt. But save some soap, because you'll be back. Like an awful train wreck, you can't look away. And like Chad's favorite Western, you can't quit them either. We out.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.